Welcome to Visionaries Global Media, your number one source for podcasting entertainment.
Good, bad, good, bad, good, bad, good.
Okay, welcome back to Good Cop, Bad Cop, episode 276. We do have a guest, but first of all, gentlemen, there are a couple of issues that I need to raise. I'm going to be rather more polite.
Oh, as we Christ.
Ryan.
I need the wine.
I'm just going to leave it as thank you for the birthday wishes, even though you're being a petty bitch about it. But Matthew, let me come to you, because I did mention that I had a couple of grievances with you. Fancy telling people that I didn't know you could draft the champions. I said that. I knew that you couldn't draft the champions. But as I'm not here to defend myself, you're throwing me under the bus. But the one I took the biggest offense to was the comment along the lines of, when Graham was in school, you were allowed to leave school at age 14. Now, I knew straight away, I was like, that is definitely not true. So I went and looked it up. I had all the details, but I'm going to keep it short. The last time that happened was 1946. So you were a little out, shall we say, Matt?
Yeah, you were already out of high school at that point. You were, what, 2 years into college?
1947, the age was raised to 15. But yeah, if you could not comment on my behalf when I'm not here, please, going forwards, I would certainly appreciate it.
Well, happy...
Anyway, Matthew, you are forgiven because it's a week later. It's a week later. But go ahead, please, introduce our guest. Do the big introduction.
I'm done with an ill breast, Graham. We'll do that later on, I think. But first of all, happy belated birthday, Graham. Happy belated birthday.
Thank you.
The big 50 next year, I believe.
I thought you... Yes, next year, yes.
Excellent. Good. But yeah, we are honoured to have a guest on today. I think you actually said that Matt actually pulled off a superstar booking, and I think he's a superstar. When I'm getting your name pronunciation is so difficult. So, Wesley, welcome to Good Cop, Bad Cop Wrestling Podcast. I became such a fan of you watching you on Gladiators. Me and my husband were cheering you on right through the final. It was
awesome.
Heartbreaking watching you not get up the final crowd later. Literally, I was screaming. I was like, you can't fucking do this to me. A wrestler can win Gladiators. Come on. It's an honor for you to be on the show, sir.
No, thank you very much. And trust me, I was screaming as well. It was heavily edited that I said a few things that they couldn't show on the BBC. So here's what it is.
I can only imagine that side of things. Now, for those people who are unaware of you, we can have an American audience as well as a UK audience. Tell everyone a little bit about you do. Obviously, you are Gladiators veteran now, and you also build background, of course, is in professional wrestling and elsewhere, of course.
Yeah. So if anyone's not seen it, go. BBC Gladiators, the revival. I made it to the final. Spoiler alert. Yeah, you gave there. I might have not got up the travelator, but you go watch it.
The journey is worth the view for sure.
Yeah. I've still got a million clips to put together when I get some time and put something out there, but that'll come with time. Professional wrestler for coming to 13 years now. Wrestled, started off as Disco Wears, had an afro, as you do. Moved up to just Wesley. Then people realised I was born in Uganda and they were like, why are you not doing a Ugandan gimmick? Kamala, heritage linked to that. Went to Uganda. Obviously, Gladiators. I've now gone back to Wesley. Wesley and Serico, which, and Serico being my Ugandan name, give it a birth. Had a good little run at wrestling. Heavyweight champion at True Grit for over 4 years. Wrestled some of the best British wrestlers going. Attended seminars with the who's who of professional wrestling. And the journey continues.
We obviously will probably like dip in various bits throughout our segments, because it's always nice to hear about your journey. When we get a restaurant, it's lovely to hear like some of the people you face, because some people, but 4 years as champion at True Grit, friend of the show Dan Griffin, is actually going to be at the show this coming Thursday. He's a massive yes. fan of yours, and he worked out somehow that you're going to be on the show this week. So he may be listening to this one and comes out on Sunday. What do you mean, no?
I don't know how he could have figured it out. There was no clues given at all. Really?
Well, I didn't spoil it. I didn't give a name. I mean, maybe he worked it out quite quickly with me.
Wow. I didn't tell him. I forgot there was a guest until like an hour ago.
Me too.
That's brilliant. That's brilliant. I'm trying not to stumble over my word, but I have been awake for a better part of 24 hours at this point, so I do apologize about that. Don't roll your eyes at me, Graham.
You said this last week. Like, you said he'd been up for like 48 hours in a row. Hey, why don't you take a quick nap? Because I got a question for Wes anyway.
I will take that.
So anyway, I've had a really busy week, which seems to be my theme almost every single week. And not been on social media a massive amount, but just as I was scrolling through Facebook last night, saw the people who they recommend that you meet. I had Lita recommend. It's like, you might know Lita. I'm like, yeah, I think I know Lita. Anyway, I was just running that part. Anyway, one person that was recommended to me that really caught my eye, and I didn't really notice the person to begin with. The mutuals were you, Matt, and Franco Varga. And I was like, oh, okay, this is interesting. And then when I looked, and of course it was Wes. So I was like, oh, okay. So I know Franco Varga wrestles. I know he wrestles predominantly in America, but I know he's been foreign. I know he's in Japan. And we actually interviewed him, or my son interviewed him on his podcast a few years ago. And I know that he's toured places like Blackpool. So I was just wondering if you could share, have you wrestled Franco, or is it just, have you been on the same shows as each other? Or
yeah, been on a few shows with him when he was on the circuit. And I used to wrestle as a tag team. I remember I turned up to that show, and you know how wrestling is, it's called Subject to Change. I think someone no showed, so our tag team match turned into a singles match. I got Franco. I can't remember who my tag team partner against. I was like, oh, this is awesome. We had a nice little match in for Tidal Wrestling. That was a good match, and we just connected ever since. And he's coming back over the end of May. He reached out.
He's coming back quite frequently now. I know the first time when we talked to him, he'd been in Blackpool, and he'd been around that area in North, I think it was Northwest predominantly. And we talked to him about that.
Yeah.
And then he told us at the time, oh, I'm going back next year. And like I keep seeing, he's always on the plane somewhere. He always seems to be. I think he's been to Australia, been to Japan. He's coming back. Like, we love Franco Varga. We think he's amazing.
Yeah.
He was so
I do
good
need to, life. Yeah. I love it.
Top guy. But it was unexpected when I'm looking for mutuals and I saw Matt and I saw Franco together, because I was like, those two do not know each other. And yeah, I'm just idly scrolling through late at night. My eyes are getting dreary. And I thought that was cool. I like it when I get those strange connections like that.
Yeah,
top guy.
I have added a lot of random people, though, I will admit, in the last few weeks, just because I thought, oh, why not? It might be a bit of publicity. So
I've been called worse. Something cool.
No, no, we had it because of this. We knew this was going down.
Yeah. Ryan,
I was going to say, I have a few mutuals with MJF, and he pops up all the time. And I'm like, I am not bothering this dude. Like, you know, it's from, you know, his time in the Northeast independent scene. You know, I'm friends with a lot of these guys and girls, and they're friends with him. And he's just a big star now. And I'm like, I'm not reaching out to MJF.
He's better than you when you know it.
It can't be worse than that time I once added The Rock begging for an interview.
How did that go?
It wasn't.
No, like, waiting.
Let me put it this way. I wasn't left on red, to put it that way. So I'll take that. Right. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? I'm not sure. Shall we move on to the final part of the show, the good cop moments?
Do it.
Good. Bad.
We normally let guests go first. Sometimes, though, that sometimes they like to see what we're doing first. Wes, we'll give you the option. If you would like to go first with your main good cop moment, you are certainly welcome to do so. Or if you would like to pass it on to us guys first, we are quite happy to do that as well.
Yeah, you guys go first. Show me the way.
Ryan, go ahead. I think you're up this week. What's your main good? And Ryan actually has notes this week. This is unheard of. I'm dying to see what effect it actually makes. I'm going to guess it'll be the same old
shit.
Go ahead, Ryan. What's your main good cop moment of the week?
It's simple. My good cop moment this week is so simple. Joe Hendry.
Oh.
Just everything that Joe Hendry is doing right now is so... He has got himself over... I think the last time I saw someone do this was probably Zack Ryder, where he just said, screw it. I'm getting over. I don't care what anyone says about it. And it's just going to happen. And like, you know, obviously he's been big in Brit Rest for a long time. With what was it? Rev Pro, ICW, like the guy's been over there for a while. And I feel like he's over with the TNA crowd, but not the WWE crowd, not the AEW crowd. And now everybody knows his name. And I won't spoil it just in case anyone is not caught up. But last night on Impact, his apology concert towards Flopdala was brilliant. It was just phenomenal wrestling television. And man, this guy, I am so happy that he is getting the attention that he deserves. I believe in Joe Hendry. And I have for a while, and I'm just glad that other people are. And I'm going to keep it short and sweet, because then we can all just talk about Joe Hendry.
Is he getting a number one record in England?
He was number one on the UK iTunes chart for a while.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and I think he's still number one in Scotland, and he was like number six in the US.
Hmm. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
I know Joe Hendry, I think, more from, unless I'm getting this completely wrong, Ring of Honor. I'm sure I saw him at a couple of the final battle shows in Baltimore. That was when when you're talking about that name, that's where my association goes straight away, just from having seen him a couple of times at Ring of Honor. If you're keeping Taylor Swift off the top of the charts, that takes some doing right now. There's not many people who are more over than Taylor Swift right now.
No, it's true. And I think he's wrestling Zachary Wentz tonight. And with the way the Rascals do their gimmick, I just assume there's going to be some shenanigans. And the comedic timing of the guys in the Rascals and the comedic timing of Joe Hendry, I think we might be in for something kind of magical at Under Siege tonight. And I'm super excited. I'm you know, for the first time in a while, I'm just not watching SmackDown, because I'm like, TNA is on a tear right now, and I got to watch this show.
Wow.
But that's it.
That's high praise. I know that's the highlight of your week watching SmackDown.
Honestly, recently it's been NXT. I feel like NXT has outshined the main roster constantly since WrestleMania. I feel like NXT is just on top of their game. And I think we talk about this all the time. I'm a really big supporter of, you know, women's wrestling, and NXT gets it. They really, really do. And we'll get to that shortly in my speed check.
Fair enough. Matt and Wes, anything to add?
I'll let Wes go first.
I think he may be frozen.
Let it go. Let it go.
Hello.
You're back. Okay. Where's your thoughts on Joe Hendry? Sorry.
Oh yeah, that was up there. I had Joe Hendry, and then a personal fight career as my good coach. I've trained with him a couple of times. So I'm massively proud of what he's doing, and I hope this is the start of something special.
I hope
your guys bought it as well.
Is he like this? Is this just who he is? Is this his personality?
He was his passion at training shown through straight away. Like he was the loudest there, getting involved with everything. So you can see these guys who make it to the top, they've all got that passion for wrestling.
I love hearing that kind of stuff, because I mean, you know, you can tell the guys and the gals that want to be there, and then the people who are there to make money. And there was a picture. It was Brian Myers, Steph DeLander, and Allie Catch, and you can see it in Allie's face that she just loves pro wrestling. And that, when I see someone like that, it's the same reason I think WWE's been good. I don't necessarily think it's because of Triple H's booking. I don't necessarily think it's because of this, that, or the other thing. I think it's because you look at those guys, like you look at Randy Orton, you look at Michael Cole, you look at all these guys who were miserable for so long, and now they're just having fun. And that's when you get good wrestling TV, you know, people who are just enjoying it. And that's why I love the indies, because people are having fun.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I've got thoughts about Joe Hendry, but they're for later.
Don't you dare.
I'm afraid so, Ryan. I'm so sorry.
All right. Someone else do Good Cop then, because now I'm sad.
Graham, G-Man? You're up.
Let me check. Hello?
Yeah, Graham is a little bit unstable, apparently.
Yeah, sorry. I was just trying to text you because I keep getting things frozen, so I was missing out. So sorry. Yeah, you called me right at the time that it just came. I just heard you say you're up, but I didn't know who you were talking to.
Okay. Yeah, sir.
All right. Having missed last week, I definitely do want to talk about what happened the previous weekend. VCW, Virginia Championship Wrestling, returned to Alexandria, the second show. Not Logan Easton LaRoe's retirement, but he was ringside, which was nice to see. Not commentating, but he was ringside. And the chance to see some wrestlers who we haven't seen in this area for probably about nearly 6 years now, certainly at least 5 years. I definitely posted some pictures on social media of pictures of wrestlers with a certain 10-year-old boy and then a wrestlers with a now 16-year-old boy. And the contrast between some of those pictures was very interesting, but also the contrast within certain wrestlers, how much they've changed within that time. So I know, Matt, you're probably more familiar with these people because we already talked about this anyway. Benjamin Banks, I have seen him recently in Fredericksburg, but it's been a long time. Golden Pinky Society, Pinky's up for sure. Diamond Victor Griff as well. Great to see those guys. They weren't actually in tag team action. They were part of a scramble, but great to see them ringside. Great to talk to them, get pictures with them. We also had the return of Bro Keller as well, who mentioned online how great it was to go back to the area where he first started wrestling. It's like, oh my gosh, like to see those wrestlers kind of grow up from only a few years of experience to now nearly 9-10 years experience down the road. Just great to see that same energy as well. Bro Keller, just the way he flies through the air, it's nobody on the indies in this area can fly like he can fly. But also to see some of those super young wrestlers as well. So I'm talking about the current VCW champions, Mikey Banker and Josh Fuller, who were 17 or 18 when we first started seeing them at Nova Pro Wrestling. Always made fun of Mason, always were great sports, appeared on the podcast, managed to do interviews with them. And to not having seen those guys at all, sometimes through injuries with Josh's case. But yeah, it was the first time, I think, in 5 years that they'd wrestled in Virginia only a few months ago. And this was the first time they'd wrestled in Northern Virginia in probably about the same time, five and a half years. And super excited to see them. And of course, as you don't know with wrestlers, I'm all ready to cheer them. And of course, they're heels. Like, oh my God. So I'm ready to cheer for them. And they're trashing everybody. They're like, hey, you think you know us because you saw us when we were kids. Well, let me tell you, we're grown up men right now. And yeah, so boo. Really fun show. Great to see it. There was one unfortunate incident where a wrestler did get injured. Logan spotted it instantly, being a ringside, and managed to get attention to that person straight away. He's in recovery right now, but it sounds like it's a bit of a long road to recovery. Could be out 6 months to a year, unfortunately. But that's the type of thing that happens at wrestling shows. But glad that people were there quickly to that scene and be able to deal with that. But yeah, just the fact that wrestlers who we kind of started out on our indie road all those long time ago, getting to see some of those wrestlers again. Erica Lee as well would be another one who'd be on that list as well. Fun times. And the announcement also that they will be returning, so it's not just a two-show deal, they will be returning in November with a certain Nick Namath on the card as well.
That's
a big name for VCW, so that'll be exciting to see as well.
Having Ziggle Pickle Pudding Pants on the card it's a good show anyway, but big name to have.
I would be going either way, but that's certainly an autograph that I don't have right now. That's certainly a picture that I don't have right now, and I'm sure the boys will want to see Dolph Ziggler. I'm wondering, will he sign Dolph Ziggler though, even though he's Nick Namath now? I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know the answer to that.
Well, I keep remembering the autograph you've got for me from Rhino, which you still got, where he which
you know, still have
a happy wife and a happy life. I married a man.
I wasn't specific. All I mentioned was that my good friend is getting married soon. He would like your autograph, and I just assumed he was going to put to Matt from Rhino. I did not know, but yeah.
Makes it even sweeter for that reason. Something you said, though, inspired me to ask a question to Wes right now. You said that you weren't sure. You thought they were going to come out as faces, and they came out as heels. Which way do you normally present your character, Wes? Are you normally a face, or are you normally a heel? Or are you a bit more a tweener?
Yeah. I'm always face. Usually. I've been a heel. If I'm ever wrestling further afield, Scotland or Wales or something, sometimes they throw me in as a heel, but I'm one of those where, as we said earlier with Joe Hendry and stuff, like I have so much fun out there that it comes off me through my eyes, through my body language, that I'm having fun. So even if I'm trying to be nasty, the kids might play along because they can see I'm doing something nasty, but the adults still always come to you after, like, oh, yo, you seem like a good lad, you. And it's like, ah, oh, I'm a terrible heel.
Some people are just better at certain roles. We've seen that throughout history. Some people have tried to be babyface and they're just so much better as heels. Triple H, I mean, everyone loves him now.
Yeah, I just enjoy myself too much.
Well, that's the thing, you see. Some people, I mean, Ryan, very famously getting on 4 or 5 years ago now, on a former project of his, said Bailey, the private example. I don't know if I'm paraphrasing here, Ryan, I'm sorry. Bailey, you know, massive, massive super fan with a great sugary baby face. And he predicted her heel turn because she came out and just destroyed the Bailey buddies and basically became Karen. It was wonderful watching the metamorphosis, but she can be great at babyface, but she's such a good heel as well. So yeah, some people are good at doing both, but I've got to admit, I'd always cheer for you, Wes, so it's probably a bit hard for me.
It's the same thing with Mercedes right now. Like, you're bringing her in, you gotta bring her in as a heel. Heel Sasha is way better than face Sasha, always was. And Mercedes is no different. You know, this character is essentially the same character that Sasha Banks was. And she just doesn't work as a face. And it's one of the biggest wastes of money so far. Sorry. Anyone out there who's a Mercedes fan, I'm sorry, but it's been pointless. Absolutely pointless.
I want to go back to Franco Varga for a second, because when I first saw him wrestling in Delaware, he was a heel. Because he actually called out Mason. That's how we got to talk. It was some throwaway comment, and I can't remember what it was, but he put something on Twitter to us like, I don't know, I'm going to smack your kid if I see him next time if he puts me. I can't remember exactly what it was, but we only knew him as a heel, and then we started talking to him. And we went to see him in North Carolina when he wrestled against Ethan Page, and we just assumed he was a heel. And as soon as he walked out, everyone's like, hey, it's a big applause. It is very confusing if you watch different organizations and you're used to them playing a certain role and then the wrestler's a different one. It's a little different if you go to the same organization each time, because obviously you get used to what the character is and you get to see all the heel turn or the face turn or whatever it is. But yeah, if you see different wrestlers in different organizations, it can be very confusing when you don't expect it.
It's even more confusing when you work for one sometimes. It's hard to tell sometimes. Because You think, like, they've been here the whole time. And they rock up with the face, like, what? You weren't last time you were here. Keep me in the loop. I'm going to do the fucking commentary here. Yeah, it's not often that happens, but yeah, it does happen that way. Wes, would you like to go next? Ah, I didn't.
Wes has left the building. You could have just said no.
Wow. Well,
is this like Vodafone? Are they just terrible?
Vodafone.
I don't know. It might just be with it being four of us that I would say I had problems for a few minutes, but now I've been good ever since.
You've had problems for 49 years. Hey.
Where's that drum kit? Matt, why don't you just go?
Okay.
Not leave the building. Why don't you give us your good comment?
Oh yeah, while I wait for it to pop back in. Oh, here, the man himself is back. It's all good. Okay. It's all good.
Apologies, guys. I'm having all sorts of issues over here.
You're all good. You're all good, my friend.
I think it's going to kick me out again.
Look, it's stable for the moment. So while it is, would you like to give your main good cop moment of the week, if you've got one hand?
Yeah, well, Joe Hendry was up there. I'd like to put a little personal thing through. Is I've took my time this week to go through my message requests, and I just want to give a big shout out to all the younger generation that are watching wrestling, and like I've had the mums and dads reach out to me just saying, oh, my kid loves wrestling, loves this, he watched you on Gladiators. And it was just a nice reminder for me that we get bogged down, I think, sometimes with our generation are all on X, Twitter, social media, Instagram, we're all discussing wrestling, and we always forget about those kids that are just having the time of their lives watching wrestling. I've just had a look. I've had like 7 requests to do video responses to them and asking if I know their favorite wrestlers. And I'm like, can you tell Ricochet to say hello? And it's like, it don't work like that. But so that was just a really good moment that I've had this week, and I've not managed to share it anyway. So I thought I'd want to share it here.
That may be one of the best good cut moments we've ever had, actually.
No, it really is, because like I love, like, people sometimes forget that for the majority of its existence, you know, at least in the modern age, pro wrestling is kind of for the kids. You know, it's, you know, you look back at like the WWF in the early 90s, you think those characters were for adults? No, they were for kids. And I love, like, when you see those videos. Like, I mean, this is, you know, maybe more of a negative spin on it, but the videos that The Rock showed on Raw after he beat the shit out of Cody, of the kids like crying, like, you know, they killed Cody. It's like, this is still real to them. Yeah. And it's just like, but also the flip side of that, like, you see these kids when, you know, to use the same guy, because he's probably the biggest star on the planet. When Cody's music hits, these kids' eyes light up. You know, like, that's their hero. You know, just like when I was a kid, Sting was my hero. I wanted to be Sting so badly. I also wanted to be Cactus Jack, but that's a whole nother problem that I have. You know, but it's just like these. You guys, like Wes, you guys are fucking superheroes to these kids. And that's awesome. Yeah. Like, absolutely so cool.
And it's so easy to forget that sometimes when you go to shows and I might have not had the performance I wanted. And I'm like, oh, I'm not in the best shape at that time, or something goes wrong. And it was just a really nice reminder this week that some of the mums and that are saying, "Oh, he won't he wants to be called Wesley for the week or something like that." And it's like, wow, I didn't even think of anything like that.
That's really some really cool things there. I mean, when you're at the shows in the UK, what's the response like? I mean, obviously we have a merch table and things usually at shows. Do you have how is your queue got bigger since you were on Gladiators?
Yeah, definitely. Unfortunately, the last few shows I've been at, I've not even had a chance to go at the merch table because I've been doing the meet and greets or something for the companies. So I've been doing the meet and greets, and then I'm backstage to get ready for my match. And it wasn't the other day, so I was like, oh, I didn't even get a chance to sit at the merch table. And I was just there taking photos in the ring. I was like, I've missed out there. But yeah, loving it. And oh, some of the... I've got about five or six stories that will pull at your heartstrings with things I've been told. And I'm like, I need to write this down and take a breath just to take it all in.
Well, if you want to, I'll happily give up my good cop moment if you want to share some of those stories, bud.
There's one. I won't say the name of the stuff, but it'd be pretty obvious if you look at my social media who it is. There's one kid that is suffering a lot with school, and he has a few difficulties, and he came to a show. This is even before he saw me on Gladiators, and he used to go to his school and say, I'm best friends with a wrestler called Wesley, and they all know WWE and stuff, so they're like, oh, we don't know who that is. Obviously, Gladiators has dropped. Now these kids know, so when they see the photos of me and said kid, now it's flipped around. He's the coolest kid in the school. And on the massive flip side of that, his learning difficulties. I was mentioning it to my sister over lunch. She works in the NHS over here in England. And she recognized some of these traits. I connected them and the parents. They then put him to the front of the queue, and now he's getting assessed, and they've realized he's going to be diagnosed. And it's like, wow, what a circle of events. Like, those parents have sent me four or five emails just thanking me, and it's like, oh, don't worry about it. And it's just that's just the if I retire tomorrow, I feel like at least I've done one thing so in wrestling that I'm happy about, so all good.
I think one of the things you don't always necessarily realize is for people that do come up and tell you about that, there'll also be the ones who are too shy to even talk about it, but obviously do look up to you massively. As a dad with two kids, I know Mason was very shy to begin with, and even the idea of going, well, dad was as well. Dad was a little awestruck to begin with as well. But just that idea of even talking to a wrestler was like, oh my gosh. But no, it can make a big difference. When a wrestler talks to a kid, even just to ask him like anything, like who's your favorite wrestler, or just takes the time and day to talk to them, it makes such a big difference. And then when a second wrestler does that as well, you don't always realize some of the differences that can make. But yeah, no, you do notice when you do crowd watch, you do notice the difference it makes to some people in their lives. Like, that's the highlight of their week, their month, their year. Being able to express themselves at a wrestling match. And it plays a really vital role that, yeah, you probably don't know all the good that you've done. You certainly know certain stories, but I'm sure if you were there's probably even more that you don't realize too.
Yeah, that's, yeah. It's I wish we could all take note of that sometimes and not. Yeah, I get that exactly, because there's a few kids that I know have come up to me and, yeah, I can tell they're shy, but the smile on their parents' faces behind them, I'm like, okay, this kid is one of those who might be saying something in the car like, oh, that was an awesome weekend, and then back to the grind of school, eh?
Yeah, the one I like to hear as a parent as well, when I've left shows, and you can tell kind of the ones who it's their first time show, because we've been in that same position. We've been going to indie shows now for a while. But you can hear the kids, can we go again? That was awesome. Well, that was really fun. That is like, you got them hooked in. Like, you won't know. You'll be backstage at that point. But the kids, oh my gosh, They do. They love. There's nothing like, and we, Matt, you know this better than anybody. Well, Ryan, you do too. There's nothing better than going to live wrestling. It's completely different from watching it on TV. When you can get there just to talk to a wrestler, just to be within a few rows, to hear the loudness of when you guys actually hit the mat, being able to see those moves up close, being able to interact with that wrestler, being able to boo that wrestler, being able to cheer that wrestler, being able to get a picture with them later. Oh my God, it grips you. It grips you. It grips me. It grips me as an adult. So never mind a 10-year-old and kids younger. And amazing.
Yeah, and I was thinking the other day, these kids, what I love about it is these are the future podcasters, referees, cameramen, camera women, writers. So it's quite cool that you're kind of building the scene just by going out there and performing. They might be the future designing someone's wrestling gear. It could be anything.
I'm aware I'm gonna get a bingo card strike here. I'm sorry, but I have waited half an hour, 45 minutes here at this point. Okay. One of the things that we did at CXW was that
Bingo.
they have a raffle, and every time they raff, and ever since like the third show, they raffled off a chance to do commentary for a match. And the first time they did it, an 8-year-old kid won it. Now he was too shy to do it, unfortunately. But he was so psyched, absolutely so psyched. I mean, I mentioned before the last time we did CXW, I did my walk around the ring and everything, waved to the crowd and everything, got fist bumps with people. But you do that anyway. But when someone actually comes to you, I haven't got a merch table or nothing. I'm just like loitering during halftime usually, and someone comes up to me, asks for a picture and my autograph. I'm like, I'm the fucking commentator.
That's awesome.
But I recognize the guy because he's front row. He's there every single time. He's got Down syndrome, but my God, does he comes to every single show, and he has the best time of his life. And it's wonderful. It's wonderful seeing someone so happy. Even better was that he actually got a chance to actually throw a chop against Leonardo Darwin, which is up on YouTube. It's really worth going to see, actually. I think my throat was hurting screaming in that match. That it was so good. Yeah. It's when you get to give back to the fans, it's just something special. I can't even imagine what it'd be like to have that sort of effect on somebody. Props to you, Wes. Props to you. As I said, I happily forgave my good comment, so I'll drop it every to speed check for me, Graham. So feel free to kick off the speed
Ryan,
check.
you're up first, I think. I think we'll keep the same order. Ryan,
Yeah. So TNA on fire. Love it. I mean, everything they're doing has been great lately. And I think that tonight is a good barometer of that. There's only been 2 weeks since Rebellion. So they have Rebellion, two episodes of Impact, and then another pay-per-view. And in that 2 weeks, I feel like they have built more storylines than a lot of the bigger promotions do in 6 weeks. Absolutely love it. Natalya and Lola Vice, the NXT Underground match this past week on NXT, the best underground match they've done in WWE. It was honestly, it was hard hitting. It was a lot of fun. I'm a big Lola Vice fan, and I think Natalya has been a workhorse for that company for years. Absolutely loved it. I really loved the NXT call-ups, and I'm hearing there's more NXT call-ups. Rumors are circulating that Joe Gacy is also making his way to the main roster, and I'd be very excited. I'm a big Joe Gacy fan. Vice is doing a four-part documentary series called Who Killed WCW, and they are promising it will not be the revisionist history of WWE. It will be the true story. Who knows how that'll come out? Kevin Nash is on it. We all know Kevin Nash is full of shit half the time, so we'll see. Lars Fredriksson is going to be at Under Siege tonight as well, after being at Rebellion and on commentary last night on Impact. I'm a big Rancid fan, so I love seeing Lars Fredriksson floating around. And the Sandman Dark Side of the Ring, as fucked up as it all was, At the end of the episode, when they're asking him about all the horrible things he did to his family and all of the problems in his life, he looked dead ass in the camera and said, "It's me. I fucked up. I accept all responsibility for the things that I did, and I hope I can do right by my family." And I was like, you know what? We all fuck up. And the biggest thing you can do is to accept responsibility and try to make right by it. So, you know, good on him.
I only got a couple of things. The NXT call-ups, just the reaction from the wrestlers. I thought they knew ahead of time. I didn't realize that they didn't know. I was wondering how much of that was staged. But you can see how much it means to people. My only question to you guys is, for the rebuttal, though, what about heels showing some emotion like that, breaking down and crying?
I agree with that.
Okay? Okay. I'm going to ask about that one for you. And WWE Rivals this week was Stone Cold Steve Austin and Booker T. Great to hear about behind the scenes of the supermarket scene. But I want to hand over the rest of my time to Wes, because I know Wes has a connection to Booker T. I think something on the Gladiator series, right?
Yeah, that was just getting on there. Obviously, I was just having fun, having some. And I thought, you know what? Why? I need to take full advantage of this. We're going to have 7, 8, 9 million viewers. Let me throw some. I don't know if people are counting at home. I did quite a few taunts all the way through the series. I need to clip all those together. But yeah, I did a couple of 5 times, a spin-a-rooney in the final, and a few others that got edited out. There was a lot of backstage interviews that they unfortunately edited out. I think they came across as cheesy or like, a lot of it was like, you'd go in, you'd show your raw emotion, then they'd say, "Oh, can you do it again? We're going to turn the cameras on." So I think some of the contenders, it felt a bit awkward and quirky, but I used all that time to cut wrestling promos. I was referencing Ric Flair, Mark Henry's retirement speech. I was loving it.
All loved that, you see. And I mean, watching Gladiators, Chris was getting so into it, my husband, he was getting so into watching it. I'm like, I'm aware that this is literally just one step below wrestling, right? In terms of how much 100%. They have it up. And he's like, "What? Like, I married you. How do you not know this?" So a few weeks back, we tried to put a few things together, and at some point, we will sit down to watch the trio of Gargano Ciampa matches on
Greenwich.
Oh, yes, because that's one hell of a tell a story. Three different ways to tell a story. On that note, who was your not from doing spoilers on how you got against them, who was your favorite gladiator to go up against?
They're all brilliant. I wanted to go against Giant for that David and Goliath story, and let's be honest, I beat him on the duel. Everyone saw him touch my thing, so I touched my podium. That's a win in my books. They might have even alluded to it backstage that maybe I should have won, is what it is. But legend, because I just wanted to see what he said on the mic after. I don't know if any of you guys have seen it, but he could drop into any wrestling company right now and cut a promo. Would he be able to hold up physically? He's got the look, but he's obviously not trained. But his promos, some of the edited out promos were fantastic. I love a guy who's good on the stick, so that was awesome to watch live.
He knew how to work a crowd, that's for sure. The crowd, he literally had so much go-home heat. It was fantastic at times. Loved it. I've never seen such a narcissist literally, this guy wants to be MJF. He has potential to be good. If he actually wanted to do that, he could do that for sure.
I got that vibe, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, do you have any more good cop things to talk about? Maybe 90 seconds, but we'll let you have a bit more leeway.
Who's that, me?
Yeah, you, sir, yeah.
Good cop. I'm a. You guys are deep into the rest. You guys have watching everything here, there. I maybe catch a bit of Raw, a bit of SmackDown while I'm cooking. So if I ever jump on again, I'll be sure to be watching absolutely everything. But you guys will have to correct me if I'm wrong, but I love the little moments. I love the little camera movements. I feel like it's a Triple H thing because I've seen it in NXT and now it comes across to WWE. With the Us, Jay, and the Judgment Day, did they do a little segment on Raw? And I saw the little camera moment where they knock JD down, the camera comes across and Uso comes from behind them and just kind of like the little comedy moment of, oh, then they turn around and they see him. I love all those little camera moments. You'd have to correct me if it wasn't this. I'm sure it was Raw.
Oh, yeah, no, you're absolutely right. I've been talking about this for months now, how ever since Kevin Dunn went away, ever since Vince went away, the entire production value of WWE has gone from practically unwatchable to the best. Like, I went to West, to give you a little my background, I went to film school twice. I love the technology, you know, I love, yeah, no, Graham, I have 0 degrees, I know. but like, I love a good, when I'm watching a TV show or movies, I love watching how the camera moves, and WWE is cinematic now. And I absolutely love that. And I agree with what you're saying. You know, like the way Raw, I think it was Raw this week. They've been doing this a lot too, where they'll be interviewing someone and then there's something happening in the background that's important to the story. This week it was Liv Morgan walking out of a room and then 10 seconds later, Dominic follows her out. And it's like, they don't mention it, but it's like, oh shit, there's a storyline here. I love it.
Yeah, I agree with that. It makes you kind of pay attention because you're like, you don't want to miss anything as well. And you've obviously, if you've gone to film school, you're noticing these, you know about these techniques. People like me, I'm just, subconsciously I'm saying I can see something's different or something's exciting me or something's getting my attention.
Maybe a month ago or so, I think it was right after Lee Fittings, who's their new director, right after he joined the company, there was, you know, anyone who's watching WWE remembers last year, the year before, the past couple of years, the rapid fire camera cuts every 1 second, just boom, 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 boom. There was a shot on Raw. They came back from commercial and the camera did not cut for a minute and 47 seconds. It was one camera shot the entire time and it was gorgeous. I loved it.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah.
That should be my new podcast, just talking about camera work in wrestling.
It interests me. It does interest me. But as I say, I only notice it, like you've just mentioned that now, are you making me remember Kevin Owens' entrance where they followed him all the way through?
Yeah.
All the way to the, and I did the same with Sami Zayn at Mania. And at the time, I didn't realize that was Captain, but now as soon as you said it, I was like, oh yeah, it all makes sense. They know what they're doing.
it's pro wrestling, especially television pro wrestling. People need to understand it is a TV show. It is no different than watching 24 or, you know, Heroes or The Walking Dead. It's the same thing. It's people telling a story, and your camera work needs to follow suit. And WWE is the king of video packages. They've been for 20 years minimum. And now they're stepping up their live production as well. And I love it. Oh man, I can't wait for Backlash tomorrow. I'm so excited.
I think they said they're gonna, I don't know if they've already started because I don't pay as much attention as you do, Ryan. They're getting rid of the augmented reality, or they're gonna use it less frequently. They're gonna save it more for the pay-per-view.
You know, now that you mention it,
whatever it's called.
I don't think I've seen it at all over the past couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, perhaps that's true then. Yeah.
Ooh.
I think it's better to save it for the premium live event. Sorry, that's what I was trying to think of. I think it's better to save it for that. You don't need it for your average Raw or your average SmackDown. Personally, I know little kids love it. Jackson loves it. For me, it's like, I don't think we need it. Not every time.
Mm-hmm. On the note of Dominic coming out of the same room Liv was in, Liv could do so much better.
It's not about Liv's happiness. It's about taking everything from Rhea.
No, absolutely. I'm just saying Dom could do much better. Liv could do much better than Dom.
There were rumors a couple of years ago that Liv was dating Joey Janela. So she might have a type. The type is scumbags to anyone who doesn't know who Joey Janela is. It's fine.
The difference is that Dirty Dom is an asshole and a scumbag, whereas Dom is actually a sweetheart by all accounts. He's actually really good, actually, by all accounts. My Google nice and short and sweet. And actually ties into apparently Mr. Gacy getting called up, allegedly. Because I've got a feeling I know who he's going to be paired with when he comes up. It's open to opinion if it's a good call moment or not. I think it is. It's someone who is returning. It was broken this week by TKO board member Dwayne Johnson, who has signed with the company. It is Mr. Eric Rowan is back with the company, and that's not a bad thing. I've always been a big fan of his work. And you just know with Paul Levesque running creative now, it's going to be better for him. In fact, I think everyone who's on the roster has actually got some decent creative now of some form or other. People being used in the right ways and things like that. And it's not just, you know, fart jokes to make Vince McMahon laugh all the fucking time. You know, or, you know, writing yourself into a storyline so you can make out with people who are 50 years younger than you. Good thing is, those days seem to be behind us now.
We'll get back to that in my bad cop moment.
Oh, dear Lord. Why do I get a funny feeling it might be time to go straight there?
No rebuttals?
I've got no rebuttal. If anyone wants a rebuttal?
I have no rebuttal.
Okay, then. Oh, brace yourself, people. Here we go.
Good. Bad.
All right, same order. What you got, Ryan? Main
so it's actually not my main bad cop moment. It's my speed check, but I wanted to make Matt feel very uncomfortable. My main bad cop moment is kind of personal. So this past Wednesday night, Kenny Omega returned to AEW. In Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada, and he cut a promo. And the promo really resonated with me in a very negative way. So anyone who doesn't know, Kenny Omega has been out of action for a number of months because he has diverticulitis, which is a serious disease that affects your intestines. And I am not doubting that Kenny Omega has this disease. My issue with it is he talked about how he almost died, which again, I am not disputing. I am not disputing. The reports I heard is that he had sepsis. He had an infection of his blood. And that's really, really dangerous and that can kill you. And I also don't doubt that it's from his diverticulitis. The issue I have is he talked about how bad it was, and he talked about how blunt force trauma can actually rupture the diverticuli in your intestines, and you can die from it. And then he goes on to start bumping. And what bugs me the most about it is I also have diverticulitis. And I think this is the first time in my life I have been quote unquote triggered by something, because it really felt like it was poor taste. If you know, oh, I have this and it's so bad, I shouldn't be in the ring right now. And then you're bumping. That just comes off in poor taste to me. I don't know if this was a Kenny decision, if this was a Tony Khan decision. It just rubbed me the wrong way. It rubbed me the wrong way enough where Dynamite ended and Rampage started, and I turned off Rampage. I just didn't want to watch their product anymore. I was like, I'm done with this tonight. I have no interest in continuing watching this. I'm in a bad mood now. And like I said, this is more of a personal thing. It rubbed me the wrong way. And, you know, I hope that Kenny is doing well. I really do, because like I said, I have this disease. It sucks. It sucks real bad. I've been in the hospital. I've had infections. It sucks. And to make matters worse, the antibiotics to cure the infections, they might be worse than the disease itself. They are hardcore antibiotics and they destroy your insides. I will not get into the gory details. It's gross. but yeah, it bugged me. You know, there's one thing doing an injury angle. Like, obviously, we expect there to be injuries in pro wrestling. So when someone's like, oh, I broke my arm, and then they come back out and they're like, just kidding. Haha, gotcha. You know, that's one thing. But man, this is a, you know, it's technically classified, if I remember correctly, as an autoimmune disease. And I don't think those should, you know, Roman Reigns had leukemia. Roman Reigns went away. Roman Reigns went into remission. Roman Reigns returned. Yeah, you can talk about that. But if you're still sick, don't be taking bumps, you know, because if it's really that bad, dude, you could actually fucking kill yourself, man. You should not be taking bumps right now. Yeah, it just bugged me. Like I said, it's more of a personal thing. Everyone I've talked to about this is like, no, I see what you're saying, but I don't think it was that big of a deal. And I'm just like, well, it's because you don't fucking live with this thing every day. I do. So fuck you.
Sure, I can totally see where you're coming from on that. I gotta admit, I actually watched some AEW this week. I saw the clip of Kenny. I was like, ooh, I'm kind of watching. And I kind of was a little torn as well. I was like, if it is as serious as this, then I'm hoping you're not doing anything stupid right now. He was talking about chances. Like, it could be 100%, 75% chance, 50% chance, 10% chance. I was kind of worried about that. But at the same time, I was gripped. I was like, okay, I want to see what's going on here. And I haven't felt that way about AEW in a long time. So I did watch parts of it this week, and I will be watching parts of it next week. I am interested to see how that story is going to develop for sure. And it's been so long since I watched it. It sounds like the Orange Cassidy situation is kind of interesting as well with the best friends. So I kind of want to see a little bit more. So I actually have an interest in AEW, which I haven't really had in a while. We watch so much stuff, you've got to prioritize. But I am actively interested in AEW right now, which I haven't.
Hold on. I need to correct you, though. It's the ex-best friends.
Okay, well, I don't know that part. I know that they're feuding now. So,
yeah, just get it right. All right, my boy OC, he's going through some shit right now.
Yeah,
yep. I mean, Graham's boy dressed up as it once or twice.
I have a picture of that in my classroom. I see it every day. It's mate, I love that picture.
It's a brilliant picture for sure. That's a tough situation to be in. I mean, not wrestling doesn't trigger me very often. That probably wouldn't trigger me because I haven't gone through it. So I feel for you, bud. That side of things.
It happens.
Indeed. Indeed. Wes, I don't know if you caught any of Kenny Omega's promo?
No, but I'm... Just you guys mentioned it then. I love it when I hear someone's thoughts on it, what they've thought, and then I go watch it myself. I'm definitely going to go watch that just because I've got a bit of more interest in Omega because I saw he reached out to Soft Ground Wrestling in Uganda. So any wrestler who's linked to them, me being Ugandan and wanting to go over there in November, so I'll be watching that this weekend. Well,
I know how to get over with Wes right now. I've got the SGW store open on my computer right now. I'm about to order the t-shirt.
Oh, yeah, let's go.
Dude, that is such a great story, man. Like, you know, and like when I saw Mason Mansoor show up over there. I'm just like, dude, good guys, yeah, right there.
You know what? Not to be that guy, but I was like, oh, Blair was going to go out. Everything I see people doing, I was going to do before they were as big as they are now, because obviously they reached out to me because they'd watched me wrestling at Rise. They obviously knew I was wrestled as the Ugandan Warrior. So they were asking me for advice here and there. I sent as much as I can. And then they started asking me to send money. And I was like, okay, this has gone too far. but I'm definitely going to go out there and train with them soon, so I'll watch this space.
Cool moment, for sure. Mm-hmm. Graham, then you're back around a week, yes.
All right, well, I'm going to start by going back to April, first of all. So the fact that I've been planning for years to go back to WrestleMania, and then just the fact that the prices were just prohibitively expensive. Like, I was seeing tickets at $250 to $350 for, like, the worst seats, and factoring in with two additional kids for only a single night, I was not prepared to pay that. And as I was reading that, I then came across this from We Love Pro Wrestling on Facebook. Ticket sales for WWE's Clash at the Castle pay-per-view have been labeled an absolute disaster. The current cheapest available tickets being priced at £500, or about $625, to sit in the highest tier. The pictures attached show the number of tickets still remaining. The event was expected to sell out within the hour after over 20,000 people signed up for pre-sale. WWE tickets have never sold this badly for a televised show in its history in the UK. So, yeah, having thought that I was getting a bad deal, it sounds like people who are trying to go and see that show in Scotland are getting an even worse deal. And I hate to break this to you, Matt, if it does happen. Obviously, people are trying to get a WrestleMania in London at some point, and I know Triple H was talking to the mayor, or he was tweeting to the mayor or something. If this is how much they're charging just for this type of show, can you imagine what tickets prices are going to be for a WrestleMania in London? It's going to be even worse. So, disappointing. Wrestling fans in England have kind of been starved of some of that stuff. Opportunities have presented themselves, mainly through AEW, I would say, from the bigger companies. There has been some shows, obviously, but yeah, it just seems like a bit of a money grab thing right now. £500 for the worst seats, that's absolutely appalling. But that's the way prices are going. Concerts, big shows, all that types of thing there. I feel sorry for the wrestling fans in England. That's a lot of money to go and see a show that's only going to last 3 to 4 hours. Go to the Indies instead, much better value. There we go. There's my Indies plug again.
I would just like to counsel Graham slightly.
You found some cheaper tickets.
No, the ticket is at the right price. However, that is the combo deal with SmackDown the night before.
Ooh.
So you're getting two shows.
I understand, but from the worst possible seats, that's still a...
£175 is the cheapest ticket available at time of recording. But the most expensive one is $2,500. But I'm guessing that's, you know, all the trimmings and all that sort of stuff. You know.
Sure. I think overall, it's just the fact that... And I'm not sure what AEW prices are for the next show, but it seems like they're far more reasonable than what WWE's charging. You can say that they're putting on a much better product, but it's always a shame when fans who want to go see events, some people now will be priced out of that.
They'll still sell out, Graham, because they're going to have lower prices.
Sure, but when you've got to factor in, for Scotland, if you're looking to travel from England, you've got to factor in travel costs, you've got to factor in hotels, you've got other things to factor in as well. Go ahead.
I'm using my STF card. Okay. add the token Scott in the room. I can think about that. We do not take too kindly to having to pay too much for anything, Graham, okay? Do you know how pissed off the Scottish get at paying for a bacon sandwich more than £2? Seriously, they're fucking... What's we're looking for here? Fraser from Dad's Army, Graham. Perfect example. Cheap, yes, that's the word. We're cheap, thank you, Graham, yes. Cheap skin flints, that sort of thing. I'd use more phrases, but I don't want to take up too much more of our time.
When Matt opens up his wallet, moths come out. Oh, sorry, is the 90 seconds up? I lost track.
Fuck you and that sort of thing. When Chris opens his wallet, Jesus Christ. Never opened his wallet. What about when you open your fucking wallet? You never open it ever nowadays.
Oh, hold on. Hold on. You can't have it both ways. Ryan says I'm super rich and I'm spending all my money on things, and you're saying I'm super cheap. Like, it's one or the other. It can't be both of those.
Well, one of us is wrong, clearly.
Clearly. Schrodinger's wallet right here.
good call, bad calls. What you get all the time, I guess. Wes, what is your bad cop moment of the week, sir?
I've been sat here down thinking, and I'm going to break your rules. It's whatever this week is. I'm going to go back 2 weeks, or I think it was 2 or 3 weeks ago when WWE was in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know whose job it is or whose job role it is, but I'm willing to get fired up here. When Apollo from Gladiators turned up at O2 London for the WWE, I was fuming. I give it to Apollo. He's a good guy. Yes, did I school him on the edge? Yes, I did. did I get past him on a few of the events? Yes. And I've been wrestling for 13 years and they didn't even drop me an email or an invite to any of the WWE UK shows when I put all the effort and energy into doing a spin-a-rooney in the grand final, doing all my wrestling promos, celebrating with a wrestling belt after every show, wearing wrestling t-shirts backstage. Like, come on, guys. A little mention would have been nice, an invite. And I'd have done a better job in the ring as well with Ricochet and JD. So I just wanted to call him out. I had other things in mind, but I got a bit heated and fired up just thinking about it.
That was petty. That was self-centered. That's a perfect bad cop moment. You can come back anytime, Wes. That was perfect. That made people the best. That was petty when I was the other day. The other week, yourself.
I love it. You've got to have these moments. It's the only time. I'm only in the limelight for 3 weeks and then it's over. It's off to Love Island or British Bake Off. So I need my moment.
Nothing wrong with British Bake Off. Love Island can take all of it, but Bake Off, nothing wrong with that at all. Yeah, Apollo. What annoyed me was when Guy Mowbray on the commentary, not a spoiler, it's TVB does voiceover for like them introduced. Our resident Greek god. I'm like, seriously? he's tall, he's muscular, all that stuff, but he's got nothing on Giant.
Yeah, I can't say anything. Guy Mowbray called me powerful, so he's in my good books.
Well, to be fair, I wouldn't want to get in a ring of you. No offense, I wouldn't want to get in a ring of you. You'd break me in half, for sure. Right. Oof, where do I go with my bad cop moment of the week? Well, one that broke a few hours ago could be talked about, but I want to stick clear of that one, I guess, because it's something related to the Vince business. We don't want to talk about that. So I'm going to go to the amount. Well, I'm sorry, Ryan, you may want to get your card ready. Joe Hendry.
I'm just waiting to hear what you say.
I not trying to be controversial, but stick to wrestling, bud. You're good at it. That's it. I don't want to hear him sing.
Yeah, no, that's my shut the fuck up card, because his in-ring concert to apologize to Flop Dalla was musical genius, and you can go fuck yourself, Matt. You're done. You're done. You're done talking. We believe in Joe Hendry. You clearly do not, and we don't need that kind of negativity in our lives.
It's called bad cop.
That could have been a speed check moment, didn't it? I'm sure.
It could have. Matt just likes to push my buttons.
Did Joe Hendry have the same birthday as me? Did I find that out this week? I'm trying to remember. Perhaps you weren't paying attention to that. I'm sure that was mentioned. Perhaps that was just a secondary tweet from that then. I know there was somebody who, I know Dan Griffin made some comment about me and another Graham sharing a birthday, and then there was some tweet with Joe Hendry. Perhaps I combined the two into one tweet and got it totally wrong. You guys don't know. That's fine.
Do you want my real bad cop moment of the week then?
Sure.
Okay. It's bad cop because I don't know how it's happened. Someone who runs a very credible indoor organization. He's met him, this person. He's no longer working for the officially second biggest wrestling company on the planet. All Ego, Ethan Page. No longer wrestling for AEW/Ring of Honor.
Oh, I did not hear that story.
Yeah, it was confirmed today. Let's face it, he's got places he can jump down, he can jump onto, obviously. Go back to TNA. He's also good friend of Cody Rhodes. So
Alpha One.
He's been promoting that like crazy on his socials recently. He's gonna land on his feet, no problem at all. I subscribe to his YouTube channel. I did that when Mason met him, and he's on his YouTube channel. That's really actually quite fun. Mason looks so little. It's ridiculous.
I watched that for the first time in 4 years recently because I was talking to Eric and he mentioned Ethan Page, and I said, Mason interviewed Ethan Page. So he's like, he did? And I was like, let me see if I can find the link. And I found it. I was like, oh my God. Yeah, like it was. Yeah, Mason. Yeah, a long time ago, but so fun to watch.
Wearing a cool shirt,
and that's back when he wrestled Franco Vargas, and I'm back to Franco Vargas, and I'm back to West. This episode should be called Franco Vargas. Yeah,
the 6 degrees of Franco Vargas.
Too bad about Ethan Page. I like Ethan Page. I have a lot of time for Ethan Page.
Yeah. Yes. But he'll land on his feet. He'll be absolutely fine. That kind of thing. He's one of the talented, but. He hasn't wrestled for either company under the Tony Khan umbrella since February 10th. So many things were potentially going to happen there. It just feels like that's one of the biggest missed opportunities for me for Tony Khan. Ethan Page is so talented. And, you know, it's always sad when someone leaves a company, but this one just feels not a bang, but a whimper. I mean, when Punk left, it was like a big bang. I mean, let's face it, hate to throw shade here, but AEW are still trying to make money off of that. It's been like 6 months. Get over it, boys. Seriously. This feels like a real missed opportunity. That's my backup moment of the week.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Can't agree. Houses then, is it?
Nope. Speed check. Ryan, what you got?
Ethan Page called me an asshole one time. That was pretty cool.
Do you have that? Did I send that to you? That audio?
Yeah, no, I have it. It got ripped in the mail and I was super pissed off about it. But
it did? Yeah. Oh, I didn't know that side of it.
So my bad, we'll start with the basic ones. Reports of The Rock being a nightmare to work with, allegedly being hours late to WrestleMania this year, and reports coming in that he was like 3-4 hours late to most of his film shoots, and that he was just because they were so tight on time, he had to like piss in a bottle and would just leave bottles of pee around set. Like, dude, what the fuck? Build to Backlash has been weird, but I'm sure the show is going to be good. And to finally get to things Matt is talking about, because he likes to just spout shit, the Dirt Sheet Report, without thinking of anyone other than himself, of course, leaks for the Wyatt 6 coming out. No, let us be fucking surprised. We don't need to know who's returning and who's going to be aligned with, you know, Bo Dallas and most likely Alexa Bliss. And the only things I like to speculate about are, like, I don't know, the thing on NXT this week where the QR code said broken a lot. Okay, could be Matt Hardy. Sure. Don't need to know about Eric Rowan. Don't need to know about Joe Gacy. You don't need to know any shit. And fucking, hey, Matt, did you know that Kairi Sane's going to be in Saudi Arabia? You fucking
let it fucking go. Bob,
you, I don't know. What are other British insults? Fanny. I don't know. Bellend, you douche.
It's been 8 months. Let it go.
Cock Wobble is a good one.
Cockwomble, you. Yeah, I'm done. I've said my piece.
Oh, dear. We do better stories than AEW sometimes.
I only have a single one. It goes back a couple of weeks as well. This with Sheamus returning and the segment with Drew, and Sheamus is there talking about banger after banger after banger, and Drew's response was looks more like a burger after a burger after a burger. Now I'm sure this was just for the benefit of the American audiences, but couldn't he said it looks more like you've been eating a banger after a banger after a banger? I know Americans wouldn't necessarily know that reference. I think when you've got that Italian side, would you recognize banger as sausage, Ryan?
I would, but I also have been interested in British culture and food for most of my life. So
I think it worked. I think that line worked better. But anyway, that's me being super picky. I know Matt loves the pettiness. That's it. It was really just, it seemed like an obvious burger was okay, but I thought banger was an even better line. A banger after you've been eating a banger.
It's okay because Sheamus is now Sheamus 515 because he held the title for 34 seconds longer than someone who will not be mentioned.
Momentarily, it might be. I'll in the butter, I'll talk about this.
Wes.
So this is what is the speed?
This is speed anything else that good. Was bad.
Anything else bad. Anything else bad, yeah.
You guys may be able to help me with this with your more insight and watching maybe more of the product than me, but when I watched the draft, I didn't get that feel that you want to, that you're fighting for the blue brand or you're fighting for the red brand. It just, they all just feel together for me. I didn't have that feel of like, oh, this guy want. When I watch the shows, they don't feel independent to themselves. I'd like your guys' insight on that. That just means not watching enough product.
Forgot to do this. My main bad cop moment was going to open with the draft is fucking stupid, and then I was going, "All right, okay, And then I was going to go into what I actually did, and I forgot that in my notes. I was going to do that. I agree with that. It still doesn't. People don't care about that. Like Survivor Series, I think it's meaningless. Nobody cares. And I'm still going to go back to it. Nobody backed Cody up when he was getting beaten the hell out of him right before WrestleMania in his own backyard. Nobody gave a shit about it. And no, I don't think people do feel loyal to blue or red.
I agree. I 100% agree. Like the draft, it was great. Like some of the changes and the people they moved around, I'm excited just because now I'm like, oh, well, there's going to be cool matchups between this person, whatever. That's fine. Yeah. But I agree. So the draft takes effect this Monday. If Raw goes on the air and those ropes aren't red, I'm going to be pissed because I agree. Like you watch Raw and SmackDown and they seem like the same show, like they were in 99 or in 2000. There needs to be a differentiator. And I swear to friggin' God, if I see Cody on Raw, I'm going to be pissed because you're saying we're doing a brand split again. We're splitting everyone up. I don't want to see Cody on Raw. And according to, because he posts those things on Twitter, like, oh, these are the dates that I'm working this month. He does not have a single Raw on there for May. So hopefully they are going to follow the brand split this time. But we'll see. I don't know. I like the moves. And like, Graham, to your credit, I really loved seeing the emotion from like Lyra Valkyria and Blair Davenport when they got called up. Like, awesome. Like that pulls at my heartstrings. Like there, you know, Blair has been in this business for a long time and she's finally can say, I am a WWE wrestler. And that's awesome, you know, because people can talk about AEW versus WWE all they want. Most kids grew up dreaming of wrestling at WrestleMania, not Double or Nothing, WrestleMania. And that's their dream. So fuck you if you say, oh, they should have gone to AEW. No, they should go where they want to go. And if they want to go to WWE, that's their dream. Go for it.
I still think you're wrong, but right. I want to go slightly along with what right, what Ryan was mentioning about The Rock being difficult, apparently. Apparently, a plan for Rock was actually originally to beat Roman for the title at WrestleMania, and then drop the title straight away and go off to Hollywood. Which he would call himself the People's Champion, apparently, which is where his custom belt was going to come from. And whether or not that's true, because it's obviously come from someone who we don't talk about on this show. But it's, you know, if that is the case, then I'm like, that sounds a lot like the current WWE video game storyline, which feels a little bit shoehorned. Kevin Nash, I could end it right there, to be fair, Kevin Nash. But the fact that he actually took credit for being the person who always should have beaten Goldberg's streak in WCW. Ryan's a WWE man, I'm aware. And we know Kevin Nash could book himself into anything because he had that kind of stroke backstage. Ryan can come in rebuttal and tell me I'm wrong here, but I personally think Kevin Nash saying that Goldberg had no right to have a streak and all this, I'm paraphrasing slightly, of course. But yeah, Kevin Nash, you're a cunt. I'm saying that out loud. I'm not even mincing my words here. And the guy out there who is pissed off that Drew McIntyre has re-signed with a company and it's been announced publicly so that when he goes to a Clash of the Castle, he can't see Drew McIntyre do a CM Punk and walk off into the crowd with the belt. Big whoop. It's been done.
Also, neither of them have the belt, so...
No, but it's obviously going to be him with the priest at Clash of Castle. You don't have Clash of Castle and not put McIntyre main event. That is just sensible booking.
It's not like, very often I agree with you, Matt, but yes, I think you have to have Drew as the main event.
Okay, episode 276, the fourth time in 6 years Matt and Graham have agreed with each other.
Rebuttal time, Ryan. Go on, tell him he's wrong.
That Goldberg should have never had a streak, or that Kevin Nash is a cunt?
Whichever you want. You got 90 seconds.
Kevin Nash is most certainly a cunt, but... That's just because Kevin Nash has been burying himself for years. I don't understand why he does that. So self-destructive. My only other rebuttal is you are right, Graham. You do share a birthday with Joe Hendry. Just you were born like 40 years before him.
Tiffany Stratton as well.
Ooh, Tiffy time.
Tiffy time. Significantly, long way before Tiffy.
I don't like her new theme song. I don't like it. I prefer the old one, the XT version.
You could have put that in your speed check moment if you'd thought about it.
Yeah, I didn't think about that, no.
Any other rebuttals, Ryan? Because I have no. One. No. I did forget to mention, because I remember seeing it, but I think it was at a baseball game, and then I forgot to write it down when I came home. Just how upset Cameron Grimes was at being released from WWE. Like, he talked about his dad and the connection to his dad, and that was like his thing that he wanted to get to WWE. And just how much it meant to him leaving WWE. Like, he was tearful. It means a lot to these wrestlers. And to have that taken away from him. Like, some of the storylines he was given, they were really good. They showed some real promise. And then it, once again, kind of like the Ethan Page thing, never really kind of materialized fully. But I'm hoping we might get to see something along the Cult of Lee again, perhaps. I was a big fan of him when he was on Impact. He was part of the Cult of Lee. So I don't know. There is other opportunities, of course, for wrestlers when they move that. But just I just felt so bad for him. It clearly affected him. And just a bad cop moment to lose those opportunities that he had.
And let's not forget, of course, that sometimes people leave WWE and build themselves up better and they come back and they're an absolute megastar. Look, McIntyre, Cody, of course. Other people have left and come back and been massive stars. So you never know. Cameron Grimes may actually, that's terrible, I'm so sorry, may actually rock back up and become a megastar. I think now Jinder's been released. Is he going to come back and win another WWE championship? I don't know.
No.
Could happen. Only he's later needs to compete the three-man band. I forgot what my rebuttal was going to be about. What was I saying I was going to rebuttal him on?
Well, it's not your turn anyway, so it doesn't matter. You got time to think. Wes, anything else?
Nothing that I can think of. No.
All right, that's given that long enough. There you go, Matt. We bought you a few seconds.
What was I saying I was going to rebuttal on? I've forgotten, so I'm so sorry.
That's your problem.
I don't think you did. I keep saying, get some paper, get a pen, and when you think about this stuff, write it down, and then when it comes back to you, you'll have your chance.
But I ad-lib stuff. That's what I do.
Well, ad-lib something now that you thought you were going
to
do.
I'm going to shout at myself listening back to this. I tell you, I'm going to be fucking like, you fucking idiot, Lewis. I'm going to be saying to myself.
Right. Start of episode 277 is all yours.
Okay? Absolutely fantastic, yes. Well, if there's anything bad to talk about, then let's move on to the final round.
Good! Bad!
Before you start, if possible, I would like to deliver my two devil's advocates, because I need to shoot out of here, pick up Jackson, because I got baseball practice.
Not a problem at all.
You can always edit into a different order if you need to.
It's not a problem. I can sort that out. No problem in a moment. Wes, did you want to deliver a devil's advocate, or receive him, or would you like to just watch us do it?
Yeah, let me watch this magic. And are you allowed to interrupt?
It's a 20. We defend for 20 seconds and then we react after, usually. Yeah.
So, okay, yeah.
Okay.
This is like having Micah in the chat with us right now.
Okay, so obviously, the devil's advocate round is a ridiculous thing we do not believe in. and obviously, we defend it as if it is the God's honest truth. So, with that being said, Graham, you wish to deliver your two first.
I do. We'll start with you, Matt, okay? I don't remember what yours actually is. It's a good job I wrote these down.
Like fucking shade.
Oh, that's right. You mentioned Ally Catch earlier, which is quite good, because I want you to defend a tweet from her, actually. Actually, I want you to defend the opposite, to be honest. Ally Catch mentioned 6 hours and $600 to do my hair is insane, and I want to know how you all afford this. So your devil's advocate is 6 hours and $600 sounds perfectly reasonable for a haircut.
Well, I know this firsthand, Graham, because unlike you, I have some hair on my head. So I have plenty of time to actually get my hair done. Last time I went, it was a fucking fortune to get it done, absolutely. Of course, I didn't actually mention Ally Catch on the show at any point so far. That was Ryan. But I'm more than happy to defend someone who I saw for WrestleMania weekend 5 years ago.
Fine. Like, I know for gentlemen, haircuts are a lot cheaper. And I understand that women's haircuts are more expensive. How on earth is it 6 hours, $600? Like, what the hell? And then you have to pay a tip on that in America as well. Like, oh my God, you're supposed to tip like 15%. Now, Matt, you would obviously just tip a dollar. But for more regular people, that would be like $90. You'd probably round up to 100. But $700 for a haircut or coloring being added on it, holy crap. That is totally indefensible as far as I can tell.
Okay, first of all, you're an ass. Okay.
You tipped $1 after I gave you a lecture on about how you tip.
You told me you tipped 10%. So I tipped $1 on a $10 round.
You had like 5 items.
But it came.
I did not say 10% either. So you need to take that back. I did not say 10%.
I've learned my lesson since then anyway. Shut up for a second. I've got to ask a question of Wes regarding this. Because you got some fantastic hair, Wes. How much does that cost to get looked after?
When I got it done, this will blow your mind, 7-8 hours, 2 people doing it when I first got it done, cost me £10. That included transport for both hairdressers to my house, transport back, and the hair doing. That is because I got it done in Uganda, though. So that's
Oh, you can definitely come back. That's all come on. That's brilliant. You come back. Yeah, you're brilliant. You're brilliant. Graham,
but, in the UK, when I get it redone, it's like, again, that's a 5-hour job. It costs about £70. So that's ridiculous.
That's a big difference. That's like $14 an hour. compared to $100 an hour. I was genuinely shocked, and Ali Catch was. I did see Shazza McKenzie say the thing is, yeah, we don't. Like, we can't afford it, but we get it done. So, yeah, for female wrestlers, oh my gosh, if that's the time, I had no idea it was that expensive, but absolutely ridiculous. Ryan, your one is, I think I'm actually going to tone this one down a little bit, actually.
Yeah, first.
So this week, I'm actually reading, I'm listening to an audiobook from Doug Stanhope. And I didn't actually realize, apparently he's from Worcester, Massachusetts. I did not know that. Anyway, from what I'm getting from this book, I would like you to defend that it's clear. Actually, hold on, that's not the bit. No, I'd like you to defend that Worcester is a poor man's Lowell.
I mean, obviously, Worcester is the poor man's Lowell. Like, Lowell, they've got canals and shit. It's really upscale if you ignore all of, like, the heroin addicts. It's a very beautiful place. Worcester, what's our claim to fame? We've got a boy who's fucking a turtle as a statue next to our town hall.
Time! Oh, my gosh. We've talked about Lowell before on a previous one.
Lowell's trash.
It's absolute trash. Why can I not stop that beeping? But some of the things that Doug Stanhope talked about, the things that some of his mother did to certain animals, it was like, oh my gosh. Now, I did not know this word of vocabulary. I don't know if it's Worcester specific. I've heard of Skid Row. Apparently, would you say degenerates in Worcester or if used use the word skids?
I mean, probably some of them. There's a skids usually, at least around here, is like punks, like, you know, 70s, 80s punk rockers kind of thing. And there was a pretty big punk scene in Worcester. So, yeah, sure.
Isn't that phrase hit the skids come from?
Maybe.
Could be. Right, Ryan, I'm guessing you've got nothing prepared.
No, never.
I got one for Wes. I got one. Oh. Now Wes has heard. Assuming Wes is prepared to do one of these, I do have one for Wes.
So, Wes, if you wish to do this, you've got to defend this for 20 seconds as if it is the truth, okay?
Jeez. I'll give it a go, but get the editing button. Get it. Do a count in just in case you need to edit this out.
You're good. I got this, it's fine.
I didn't actually write this down, so I should have written it down to make sure I got the words properly. But we'll go a bit of a softball here, one for you. My idea of wrestling hell is to wrestle against Kofi Kingston.
Wait a minute, what? I'm going to start now.
Yeah, go.
Yeah. So I'm saying that I'd want to wrestle Kofi Kingston.
Your idea of hell.
You're saying it's wrestling. Your idea of wrestling hell.
You can't do this to me, bro.
that's why he's defending the Invincible, yeah.
Okay, start the timer again.
Go.
Yeah. Why would you want to wrestle someone who isn't even Jamaican? What's even that about? Can he wrestle? Has he got a chest? Is he just going to be messing with the crowd? Oof.
We'll call that as time.
Time.
That was rough, man.
Oh, well, I was going to say, as I was looking through, so when I was on Facebook, I saw certain things, and then I saw a link to something else, which I watched, and then I saw a link to your Twitter feed, so I found that, and it says very clearly on the main page that would be basically your dream match. So it was low-hanging fruit, but it just sounded like it was the obvious one to do. I think it's probably obvious for most people, but what's specifically for you, why was Kofi Kingston like your dream match?
It reminds me of me when I see when he's having fun in there. I've been at a few house shows when he's there. The vibe I got, I felt like a kid when I was watching him. And then to find out, you find out through his African-born wrestler, Ghanaian, he returned back home with the belt. He's basically living my dream. Everything he's done is what I want to do. And I can even imagine that story that he had. I'm like, you know what? If I was in one of the big companies, I could see me being that guy who just comes into work, does what he does, and then 11 years later, you get that Kofi Mania moment. And I was like, I see so many parallels, and it's just he worked at an office job, Staples, I believe it was. And every time he's talked about that, I'm like, it's as if he's talking about me. And it's like, I just see so many parallels. It's unreal.
So that so was just the reason I had to be mean. Ryan, I'm sorry. The reason I had to be mean was I wanted to find out more about what Kofi meant to you. So that was why I kind of...
So, right, so I can make you a little jealous because back in 2006 I went to an indie show here in Massachusetts and met a lovely man named Kofi Mensa.
Wow.
Yeah, and it's funny because the promotion is Chaotic Wrestling, and I used to see folks like Mercedes KV, Kofi Mensa. Adam Stevens, I'm sorry, Aaron Stevens, folks that became Kofi Kingston, Sasha Banks, Damian Sandow. These are all my local wrestlers, and I am so fucking blessed that the indie scene here in Massachusetts has been so cool. And I have met so many, Ivar, I've talked to Ivar multiple times, Ciampa, Jesus Christ, so many of these big WWE and AEW stars, they got their starts like in my backyard. And it's so cool to see these folks on TV. Like, and just.
That's awesome. That's a great advert for anyone listening who is on a high from maybe WrestleMania or whatever. And, get to your local promotion, get there and support them, man.
And if you're in New England and you're listening to this and you want to be a pro wrestler, the New England Academy of Professional Wrestling, it's the school that used to be Killer Kowalski's wrestling school. This is where Triple H, John Cena, all of the people I just mentioned, this is where they came out of. And if you're in New England and you want to be a pro wrestler, you get your ass up to North Andover, Massachusetts, and you walk into that school and you say, I want to be a pro wrestler. And you probably will be a star because they output stars more than any other wrestling school I've ever seen.
Love that. You're making me want to jump on Skyscanner and look for some flights right now.
You talk about Kofi. I mean, obviously the whole Kofi main thing was a massive thing for everyone. Obviously, the fans made it happen. I mean, talked so many times. I was lucky enough to watch him hit the Trial in Paradise at Mania. I was there and actually thought, the atmosphere was buzzing. It was unlike anything we saw all night long. It was fantastic. But in the build up to WrestleMania for you that year, what was it like then, seeing as Kofi was living your dream, lack of a better term? That they kept putting the roadblocks in front of him, sort of thing. And when Big E and Xavier finally cemented his place at WrestleMania, what was that like for you watching that?
Yeah, I think that was one of those moments that you kind of put your own ego and everything behind you and you just become a fan and enjoy the moment. And we all know that when that happens, it's you catch yourself halfway through it like, oh, I'm a fan again. Yes. That was definitely one of those moments. I remember watching the tag team gauntlet match and just being on the edge of my seat and I'm like, oh, they got me. Well done. It's still part of I've got a little motivational playlist I put on sometimes that when I'm working from home, what I put on just before I'm about to set off from the gym once I finish work. And there's a few videos in there, the Triple H, Scott Steiner, that's when he was deciding who to sign for, that little video where they had the pose off, that video's in there, Daniel Bryan's Monster, Miz's WrestleMania promo video, and Kofi Mania video always ends it with a bang and then I'm ready to destroy something in the gym.
That sounds amazing. I mean, I can't imagine what that's like. I mean, I've been on record on when it happened at 35. I admit, I cried when mainly because everything. I mean, Ryan mentioned before, like everything had to come together. We didn't have it was weird. We didn't have a million different cutaways or anything like that. We had some, unfortunately, because Kevin Dunn was running the show, obviously. But it was nowhere near as much. But the fact that you had Corey Graves on the mic screaming like, "Big E's flipping the desk!" I'm like, if you told me 5 years later he'd be lead commentator for SmackDown, I would never believed you. He made me a believer, Corey Graves, that's for sure. It's all about everything had to sell, everything had to sell a moment for sure. And Kofi, you just believed in him. It was wonderful.
Yeah.
It was wonderful.
It makes you look forward to seeing who's next, who we're watching right now. That's going to happen in 3-4 years and we're all going to go crazy over it.
Well,
that's what makes it exciting, eh?
It really, really does. It really, really does. Ryan, do you have any devil's advocates you wish to do or give out?
No, God, no. You know that.
It's typical as well, because Graham's had the duck, unfortunately. And because of that, he's ducked my good devil's advocate I've had now reserved for a couple of weeks. It's not time sensitive, so it's going to hang in my blocks. But I'm going to give one to Wes, and it's a real softball for you, because basically, this is a call out for you. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Defend this statement. Apollo, I want you one-on-one in the ring. Go, sir.
Apollo, let it be known, they changed the rules of the whole show because I schooled you on the Edge. They're renaming me Edge now that Adam Copeland has renamed himself back to his own back name. Apollo, he's added me on his personal Instagram. Come at me, bro. 20 seconds.
I quite like that. Not a bad promo at all, sir. Especially had no time to prep for it at all or think about it ahead of time. David.
It was 20 seconds, wasn't it?
It was 20 seconds.
Two
for seconds, sir. Very well done. I was timing on a little time on my screen here. It's great. We need to let you go because your time is tight for you, unfortunately, this evening. But thank you so much, Wes, for jumping on to Good Cop, Bad Cop, our pokey little show, and chatting some wrestling with us. You are welcome.
No, massive time. Yeah, massive thanks to you guys. Props to what you do. Like, I don't know if people know behind the scenes, I've recently become a ridiculous addict to podcasts. So I was like, you know what? I do want to go on more podcasts, especially when they do funny things. And I'm more listening to a lot of comedy podcasts, like whatever, Golden Hour. I listen back to The Fighter and The Kid, Are You Garbage? All these type of podcasts. So seeing the wrestling spin on it, it's excited me to get out there and do more of this. It's obviously a skill, and you guys have, what number episode are you on now?
This is 276.
Get in. Like,
yeah, we started before the pandemic, before it became a cool thing to do. We were doing it
like I've gone from probably doing two interviews for the first 12 years of my career to doing over 30 interviews in the last 3-4 weeks. So it's made me realize I've missed the trick there, and I should have jumped on this a long time ago. And
you're all good, buddy. You're all good. Right, before you go, this is your chance to plug your upcoming appearances and let people know where they can find you on social media.
Yeah, so rebranded as Wesley and Serico. If you type in Wesley, it's a funny little Ugandan name, NSEREKO. You should find me. Any trouble finding me, just type in Gladiators Finalist. You'll see me tagged in something. I've got quite a few bookings, 12 bookings this month. Some I can talk about, some I can't, but you can catch me all over the place. Top Rope Academy, True Grit. If you get over to my social media, I've put a little departures thing on there. And I've just bought youcandoit.co.uk, so I'm going to put all my stuff on there in the next week or so. I don't know when this drops, but hopefully it's done by then.
Tomorrow, have you had the recording?
It won't be done by then because I'm wrestling tomorrow, so.
It's all good, man.
By Tuesday, hopefully, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Yeah, you're all good. Thank you again, Wes, so much. You're welcome back at any time. The door is always open for you to come back on any time. Graham's already skedaddled. So, Ryan, any last words from you, sir?
Well, we have someone new here, so I think it's only fair that I let them know the way I feel, and I don't have to come up with something goofy. I can just say it outright. And Wes, I'm sorry if you were a fan of his, but I need you to understand this, that Jay White is a huge bag of dicks and he needs to go away.
What about next week, guys? On behalf of Talk Good Cop Bad Cop, we are out of here. Boo.
Music Plus Happy Happy Game Show by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.com. Licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0. https://creativecommons.org/licenses/by/3.0/.